Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now seeing the beginnings of another stage of human evolution.
In every human being,
there's not many people that will understand people like us.
There exists the genetic code.
You'll be safe here.
What kind of place is this?
You're not the only one with gifts.
For mutation, a change is coming.
Are you a God-fearing man, Senator?
You're a mutant. The whole world out there is full of people that hate and fear you, and you're wasting your time trying to protect them? You sure you're on the right side?
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University. I'm Jim Burns. Ralph Winter is one of Hollywood's leading producers, and for more than 20 years, his movies have sold literally billions of dollars worth of tickets. He's been the producer or executive producer of hits like X-Men, Star Trek, and The Fantastic Four, not to mention comedies like Captain Rod. Well, however, in spite of such far-reaching success, Ralph Winter has not become a victim of the usual trappings of fame. He lives a grounded life with his wife of more than 35 years, and his faith in God has led him to pursue not only the blockbuster projects, but faith-based movies as well. It is possible to create multimedia that will present our faith to those who are searching, especially to our kids. And that's why I encourage you to stay with me during the next half hour. Ralph Winter joins me for a conversation about superheroes, Hollywood, and why he is so excited about a new anime version of the Bible. So keep it right here, because Homeward starts right now. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, and I am smiling today. Very excited about today's broadcast. Ralph Winter is with us. He's one of the leading Hollywood executives who's produced and executive produced many major blockbuster films, and we are so fortunate to have him with us today. X-Men, Star Trek series, Fantastic Four, Inspector Gadget, Planet of the Apes, and actually one that we didn't have, Captain Ron. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you.
I told you before the broadcast that my family actually likes to watch Captain Ron. It's kind of a goofy movie.
It's completely goofy. Love it. Fun to make.
And also, you've served as the producer for a number of faith-based films as well. We're going to have to talk about that. Native of Glendale, California, and married to Judy for more than 35 years.
That's us.
Well, it's great to have you with us. The story. I love media. And at the same time, I'm concerned about media in terms of, you know, we have a lot of stuff here at Homeward where we talk about creating media-safe homes, but I love media. And really, for your job, it's partly finding the right story, isn't it?
Well, yeah, for the projects that I want to produce and I want to lead, it is about finding a compelling story. And I tend to be, just from my own faith journey, one who wants to find a story that in some way is a pointer to the kingdom, the pointer to the gospel.
Now, you had to, at times, get criticized. Star Trek, some people would look at that and say, you know, that's not faith-based.
Oh, yeah.
And so people have criticized you. How do you respond to their criticism?
Well, it's changed a bit. I mean, movies that I did like Hocus Pocus about witches, you know, people say, well, how could you as a Christian do that? And, you know, it's, did you see the movie? Did you see what happens? Did you see that the older boy sacrifices his life for his sister? Did you see that the witches get their comeuppance? Did you actually see the movie? Oh, no, it didn't. Well, what are you complaining about? I mean, I think the story is what matters. And people tend to pick cultural things and point to those things as opposed to what the overall thrust of the story is. That's what the audience takes away. And I think at times we're nitpicking at things that don't matter.
You know, it's interesting. I heard you do an interview on a program that I saw on the web, Life After Film School, and you actually said you go to screenings. So you'll watch people react to some of the movies that you have done.
Oh, yeah. It's critical. I mean, you have to be in the theater. You have to sit in a seat where your feet stick to the floor. Yeah. You have to be in a place where real people are watching the movie. It makes a difference.
Do you change the movie then?
Usually it's too late by then. We'll do some previews ahead of time, and we'll make changes from that. On some of the later X-Men movies, the studio so concerned about the piracy and all of that, there isn't much time for previews. So those don't get previewed outside of a very small select group. But we do that to try to make changes. Does it make sense? Is it offending people, et cetera?
Now, you got your start, at least within the television world, on shows like, you know, Happy Days, Mork and Mindy, Laverne and Shirley. By the way, I loved all those shows.
Yeah, okay.
And I realized there was a training video thing, you know, that most people have to do somewhere along the line as well. But how do you move from, like, Mork and Mindy with Robin Williams to sci-fi?
Well, it was a studio job, and I had an opportunity to work with the feature film group, and I loved that. I loved, I had a little technology bent, loved the visual effects, and so I helped out in the first Star Trek that the television division made, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. So I got involved with those guys, and it was fun, and made a contribution, and they said, gee, you got to come help us on the next one. We don't know how to do it without you. So
you said at the beginning, Ralph, that in some ways you're integrating your faith in media, and you know that's a unique thing because we look at Hollywood, and because I live here in Southern California and oftentimes speak up that way, I meet so many incredible people in the Hollywood world. But the truth is that I think, generally speaking, most people would say that Hollywood is anti-Christian.
Hmm.
What do you say to the mom or the dad who's, you know, son or daughter is totally involved in media and really would like to work in that field and not lose their faith, but they're scared to death that if they get to Hollywood, you know, they're going to walk away from their faith and, you know, it's going to be a mess. And we know those stories. Those stories are there.
Well, they should be scared to death of having their son or daughter work on Wall Street. They should be scared to death of having them work in manufacturing. I mean, I don't think it's much different. I think it's more on the front pages or in the calendar section here in Los Angeles. It tends to get played up. And kids are attracted to it. But I think the challenges are the same. And frankly, if you complain that the media business is not doing its responsibility, partly it's because Christians have abandoned it. My parents never went to movies, and it was kind of not the Christian thing to do. But no wonder it's run by people who don't care about faith issues, because we haven't populated, we haven't encouraged our kids to do that. And I think that actually goes back a long way. Our Catholic brothers and sisters are way ahead of us because, you know, the gospel story has been etched on cathedral walls for centuries. My wife and I took a trip to Italy, and sitting in every church in every small Italian town, and I look at the images on the walls and I think, these are the graphic novels of the 13th century. What do 14-year-olds do? They're looking at the same scenes of heroes of the faith, and there's blood, and there's stabbing, and there's fighting, and you know, that's a cool thing when you're 13 years old. That's been going on for centuries.
Isn't that interesting? And you bring up the word graphic novel, and one of the premium for today is a fantastic Bible called the Almighty Bible. And in some ways, it's a graphic novel. And I think some of our listeners might be unaware of that. For example, when I grew up, I was watching cartoons.
Right.
And it wasn't as, I mean, sure, somebody fell off and, you know, died and things like that, but you didn't really see it. Today, it's much more graphic. Explain that, because there may be some listeners who are going, well, you know, what is a graphic novel? And you're exactly right that, you know, all of these cathedrals have, you know, graphic images.
Well, you know, when I was a kid at Sunday school, they used to hand out something called Sunday Picks. I think it was P-I-X. And it was a little Bible story, and it was a comic book. In a sense, it was like only 4 pages, but we loved getting those once a month when the church budget allowed it, and we got to get those. But it's telling the story in pictures. It's a bit like a comic book, but it's just, you know, it's a big deal with youth today and around the world. It's just another way of telling a story that's engaging, and it gets an opportunity to tell it in a different way with the images and what happens and multiple panels happening at the same time. You can take in a lot more information in a different way than you can watching a video or playing a game.
Now, you produce and executive produce amazing movies and phenomenal media. But I would say that there's a lot of Christians who would say, whenever we do something Christian, in quotes here, it's boring.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a reason. I think, unfortunately, and this goes back to the thing about graphic images and the way we think about it and what we complain about. But too often Christians are answering questions nobody's asking. The great movies are about questions, and they stimulate thinking. Too often we want to get the answer out. And if we don't have the four spiritual laws, or we don't have the sinner's prayer, or we don't have something inside of the product, well, then it's not Christian. Well, the public that's buying these things doesn't want to be preached at. But if you can ask the questions in a dynamic way, that gets you thinking. You know, the guys making Blindside didn't intend to make it that as Christians. The guys making Chariots of Fire, we love that as Christians. Those weren't Christians. They didn't, weren't Christians making that movie. It was about two guys that had competing values about, one guy says, I'm just not going to run on Sunday. And we read into that. We see that as a pointer to, hey, that's us. That's who we are. Well, that's the kind of stories that I want to make, is figure out, you know, how to do that. And I think it's hard for us as Christians to do it because we have all that baggage. We want to give the answer. We've learned that on Sunday morning so often that, you know, we got to give the answer. Well, it's more important to spend a little time understanding what the questions are.
Great conversation today, Roger. You're going to have to tell us about the Almighty Bible. Ralph's involved in it. Our good friend Charles Kim is involved in it. I recommend it. It's a great piece for kids to bring the Bible to life to this generation and get them reading the Bible. Roger, as you well know, today Gallup poll is saying that nearly 50% of kids can't even recognize, you know, a theme within the Bible, and yet they call themselves Christians of that group. So we have a great resource today, and I want you to tell us more about that resource.
Well, Jim, the resource in question is the Almighty Bible, and it is a brand new anime or manga type of edition of God's Word. It's in graphic novel form. It's also, there's an audio video interactive form. There are iPhone apps, iPad apps. It's a great, great piece, especially if your kids like anime, if they like Dragon Ball Z and Astro Boy and things like that. Go to homeward.com. You're going to find a link to the website. We recommend the Almighty Bible highly. The book of Genesis is now complete this way. Exodus and now Joshua and Judges just coming out. And that's why we're having this conversation today and on the next edition of Homeward as well. So for more information on the Almighty Bible, you'll want to visit our online resource center, if you're not there already, at homeward.com.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. The conversation is fast today. Ralph Winter, what a privilege to have Ralph with us. He's one of the leading Hollywood executives who's produced and executive produced many major blockbuster films. And we have him right here in our studio at Azusa Pacific University, the Homeward Center here. In films including X-Men, Star Trek series, Fantastic Four, Inspector Gadget, Planet of the Apes. I could go on and on. I mentioned Roger at the first one. Captain Ron. So we're talking anything from sci-fi to just kind of goofy fun stuff. He's produced a number of faith-based films as well, based on novels by authors like Frank Peretti and Ted Decker. And he's a native here of California, lives in California, and he's married to Judy, been married for over 35 years. We were talking before the break, Ralph, about just in some ways the congruence that we have. You know, we're Christian, and a lot of times as Christians, there are certain things we shouldn't watch or shouldn't see. And yet at the same time, the story doesn't have to have, you know, necessarily a Christian ending to get Christian conversation going. One of the things we're trying to do at Homeward is we're saying, look, parents, become students of the culture. At the same time, you don't have to spend 25 hours a week watching MTV, but become students of the culture. How does a parent help a child monitor what they're viewing when it comes to, you know, the movies? Obviously, you can use PG and PG-13 and whatnot, but those things don't always work.
They don't always work, but you know what? The best anecdote, I think, is that you got to watch movies with them. And why wouldn't you want to? You just got to go. You should be watching Glee with your kids on television and talk about the episodes. You should be, look, I'm actually a fan of the ratings. There's actually, they're for a reason. And, you know, as an adult, as a parent, there are so many outlets that you can read reviews and you can see, why is it PG-13? They give you the reasons. It's right there in the newspaper or it's online. It's all there. My wife and I are constantly shocked on the movies, some movies we go to that are R-rated, that parents are bringing their kids in. Right. Why? I mean, right. I understand it's kind of like a cheap babysitter, but you're filling that kid's head with the wrong images. Right. So, you know, the involvement of parents with kids is the best anecdote, because that's how you get the discussion going, and you're going to build a relationship with your son or daughter anyway.
You know, I remember a time once where actually my daughter Rebecca, who's here in the studio right now, and my older daughter Christy, they were with me, and my younger daughter was with my wife. It was a gymnastics event. I took them to a movie, and I thought it was just going to be good fun, and it wasn't very good. It was actually gross, crass, junior high type humor that, you know, the rating was okay, but it was just kind of crass. I decided to stay because I thought actually my kids would, you know, hate me. They might have, and there were times when we probably didn't stay. But I knew that Kathy would be frustrated probably. And so afterwards I said, hey, we want to go have some yogurt and we're going to talk about this movie. And I found that actually the movie produced better conversation about certain faith issues than if I would have said, we're walking out of this movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying every parent should go to every lousy, crass movie too. Right. I made a mistake in some ways. And I did get in trouble for my wife. I'll let you know that, Ralph, right now. But the interesting side to it was I had amazing conversation with those girls.
Yeah, yeah. And they probably realized the movie was crappy too.
Yeah.
They probably told you that.
Actually, I think they thought it was very funny.
Well, you know.
Going to a little Christian school, but they thought, wow, Dad's letting them see this.
Yeah, well then, but you know, there's some value and currency that you built as a dad, you know, with your girls.
Yeah.
So, look, I think where we get in trouble is when we let kids go do that unsupervised or without, and particularly at an age, you know, at some point you got to trust them. But certainly at an age in that middle school years, I don't know why we aren't consuming television with them. We should.
Yeah. You do Christian films too. You're not as known for those Christian films because they're not as big a deal, frankly, when it comes to the you know the blockbusters that you've been a part of. Why choose a Christian story over you know the other types of stories that you've done?
I've made a 4 or 5 of them with mixed results. I actually, about 10 years ago, helped get the first Left Behind movie made. And I really was interested with that series of books, how does someone who is searching for faith figure it out in the light of these apocalyptic events? And I chose a director who's not a Christian, but he was on the path. Unfortunately, you know, that became a tract. It became an evangelical tract because they had to work in the sinner's prayer. And that's more probably what the authors wanted, and it's what those people who were financing the movie and wanted to sell it to churches wanted. It isn't what I wanted, because I wanted to tell that story. I think the world is interested in what happens when, if the Bible says it's true, what happens? And an honest exploration of that doesn't really happen in a Christian environment. So that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah,
I failed. I think it actually goes back to the Reformation. I think that when we abandoned, and probably rightfully so, all the imagery and threw that out, we're now so focused on content that we don't care about structure and style.
Isn't that interesting? So what you're saying is when you go back to, if you look today at the Orthodox Church with their icons and things like that.
Kids are moving back to that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, this generation, big time.
They want that reflective. They want all that stuff. They want, because that's part of the experience.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's not just about delivering. No, this is the content. No, if you get the four things right, that's all you got to do.
Right.
Well, try preaching that to 13-year-olds.
You're involved with Screwtape Letters now.
I'm involved with Screwtape Letters, which, you know...
C.S. Lewis.
Love C.S. Lewis and all of his stuff. This is the darkest of what Lewis does. It's not Narnia. It's completely different. It's not meant for kids. But it sort of fits with the way I look at stories in the Bible, which to me are a little dark. When you look at the prodigal son, it opens with the son saying to his dad, I want you dead. I want your money. And I think a lot of the world lives in a dark place. And I think one of the reasons all of the stories in the Bible resonate today is that we can identify with them. I mean, one of the greatest leaders of Israel had a man killed so that he could take his wife. But we wouldn't stand for that today with a political leader. But that's a pretty dark thing. Moses killed somebody before he became... I mean, you go through and it's unvarnished. It's real people. And I think that's as great a testimony to people who don't know who God is or follow in a faith journey, that you can get the honest truth reading the Bible.
How do you bring hope into it? Because you can go totally dark, and there are obviously movies and conversations that's totally dark. There's also... you know, conversations that can bring hope. How do you bring hope into this?
Well, you see the hope in Moses. You see the hope in David. You see the hope in the prophets, in what they go through, that they go through those dark places, but they find redemption. They find a way to turn their lives around. They find a way to give up and let God take over. And in a sense, we in the Western culture embrace all those kinds of stories. Our great heroes that we like to watch, from Indiana Jones to James Bond, always have some kind of self-revelation where they realize, I got to be different because I can't pursue that way of living or I'm going to fail.
Yeah, it's interesting. And even in Star Trek, there's redemption.
Absolutely. It is about sacrificing themselves. And in The Wrath of Khan and Star Trek II, that is exactly what Spock does for the rest. The needs of the many and the needs of the one. And yeah, that's what makes people, you know, builds an emotional response in people that they want to go see those movies.
We're talking about, in some ways, back to this graphic novel. We're talking about stories. We're talking about real life. And obviously the Bible is filled with real life. And you're involved with a most amazing project that our mutual friend Charles Kim has kind of introduced us to. It's called The Almighty Bible. I want you to tell us, what is it and what is a busy guy like you doing giving your attention to something like that?
Well, it's telling the Bible, it's telling the stories of the Bible in a fresh way. And it's, again, back from those Sunday picks I used to get as a kid in elementary school, it's you get a chance to envision in a timeless way all those stories, who those people are, where the characters, what are they doing. There's a little more depth you can go into in that, and you can take all that in a very contemporary fashion. So I think it's fun. It's fascinating to read through and just see the story of Genesis in a different way, and as they build out these stories, it's fun.
Yeah,
it's fun.
It's so visual too. You know, we have moved and come a long way from the flannel graph to something that's really quite amazing.
Yeah, it's engaging. I think for students, it's something they can grab and pick up, and it looks like a comic book, but it goes a little deeper. There's some richness to it. And I think that's what's kind of fascinating about it.
Well, Ralph, we just appreciate your time. We appreciate your involvement in Hollywood and your stand for Christ. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with legendary Hollywood producer Ralph Winter today on the Homeward Broadcast. And Jim, what an encouragement it is to know that not only is Ralph Winter such an outstanding producer, of course, but he's such a great man of faith, too.
Well, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
He's just the real deal. I want him to be my neighbor. You know, he's a fantastic man, and it's so neat that people like him are actually in Hollywood doing wonderful things.
Sure.
And it encourages me at a number of levels. I mean, one is that he makes great quality movies, mm-hmm. and I think Christ followers need to be able to do that.
Yeah.
He brings a biblical worldview, and he can communicate his biblical worldview in a wonderful way. And, you know, he's done great mainstream projects like X-Men and the rest. He's passionate about using the latest technology to reach kids with the Bible, and that's why he is a big supporter of this brand new project called The Almighty Bible, which I am very, very excited about. We were talking about it earlier.
Right.
You know, it's a graphic novel, and graphic sometimes sounds like it's a bad thing. No, it's a good thing these days. It's the old comic book, but it's a little bit longer. It's kind of a full-length volume, if you would. And what I'm amazed about as a person who's looking at culture is that this is where kids are at today.
Right. Right.
Things for parents who will be familiar with this, Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z. I mean, they just lock right into what the Almighty Bible is doing because it's the same kind of characters, and it gets kids reading the Bible. And, you know, one of my big excitements is that kids are going to start reading Genesis and Exodus and now Joshua and Judges in a whole different way because they're looking at the pictures, but it's not just a book. They can put it on their iPad and iPhone, and, you know, it's the new way to bring the Word of God to kids. I'm ecstatic about it.
Sure, they can hear it as well as seeing it, too. It's very, very multimedia, and it's nice to see the pictures look the way they do, but also hear the descriptions and the drop-down. You mentioned the iPad apps, as it were. And
They were phenomenal. We were looking at them, you know, in studio. They're just phenomenal.
I love the fact that you can look at these, but you can also do the drop-down and read the full text, you know, or just see the abridged version of Noah's Ark or, you know, whatever the story is. And it's very, very interesting and very, very graphic.
I think it's one of the freshest things in a long time to come to help plant the Word of God into kids' lives.
Right.
I'm very excited.
Well, and this is a perfect time for us to be talking about it here at the start of a new year, because this is a time when people are thinking about refocusing their efforts on devotional reading and whatnot. And so we're excited as parents, and we want to encourage Homeward parents to be excited about the Almighty Bible too. And you can learn more about this when you visit our online resource center today at homeward.com. If you haven't been to our resource center recently, check us out at homeward.com. You'll see that banner that comes up on the top for the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University, and you'll see a lot of new materials, literally thousands of articles, tip sheets, the video clips that are in there, the audio too.
The new Homeward website's amazing.
Yes,
I'm impressed, and I was kind of following it, and all of a sudden it shows up, and it's great stuff.
It's neat. Well, we're using multimedia as much as we can, and social media too. Also, we talk about Facebook and Twitter, and I know you've got a lot of followers on Twitter.
You know, I've been trying not to tell people what I eat, though. I actually been trying to send inspirational little 140 character points, and you know, it's working. It's really fun. I'm enjoying being a Twitter person, I didn't think I was going to be a Twitter person. And actually, Facebook, I'm wandering Facebook a little bit more. You're addicted. I'm not addicted to
right.
it yet. But it is a great form of, again, communicating clearly a wonderful message. Now, until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks again for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.